Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the man who has not been travel banned yet.
Of course.
Donald Trump.
Sean Black in the building once again. Aging in reverse because of what's been happening in the Twilight Zone time period that we call America. How's everybody?
Okay. I'd like to apologize. We couldn't do the show last night. But in truth, honestly, Sean Black was being deported. So the gang and I have to rush down to the department and try to save Sean Black from being deported. So thank you, Sean. What?
Anytime.
You know, we done saved your life, okay? He was about
yes.
to be deported back to Mexico, even though you're not Mexican.
And you still want me to be on air and thank our president for that. And as they used to say, you've got another thing coming.
Yes. All right. Talk about president. Your president, President Trump. Hold on, I got somebody else on the line. I got the lovely Tisha T on the house.
Hey, y'all. I was asleep. Sorry.
You sound like you just woke up.
I really did.
Good.
Oh, whoa.
Oh,
well,
it's time
to wake you up, girl. All right. Well, to wake Tisha up, give us a call at 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Even though we're tired, we're sleepy, do you guys still want to piss some people off?
Well, that's what we were born to do. So let's do it.
Well, quickly, big announcement. The Supreme Court made a shocking announcement, and they approved the travel ban. And Sean Black is a little bit upset about it. He was a little bit shocked by that decision. Why he was shocked by the decision by the Supreme Court?
Well, the Supreme Court basically upheld President Trump's travel ban on the majority of the ban were to Muslim countries. This is the third time that this had been put in the court, and it just narrowly passed 5-4 in the courts. So basically, it's upholding this ban, and the difference is that it also added North Korea in this travel ban as well, instead of Yemen and some of the other Muslim majority countries. And the premise behind that is, as we know, President Trump was trying to ban Muslims from countries that are having a lot of the radicalized the reputation of having radicalized Muslim activities, people coming from there and coming into the United States. At least that's what the idea is behind it. But since North Korea was now added to this, I guess they're looking at it as something that's a little more streamlined. And that's, to me, what shocked me. And the reason why it shocked me also is the fact that they're adding North Korea. Didn't Trump just go to North Korea, go to Singapore
mm-hmm.
to get these talks together with North Korea and Kim Jong-un to make sure that we denuclearize this whole area? And then now you're going to say that you don't want anybody from North Korea coming into the country. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure they have their reasons. I'm not defending them completely, but I'm sure they have their reasons that we don't know about overall.
Maybe you can read between the lines, and we'll probably find that out somewhere in the middle.
Well, the Trump administration is very hard to read in between the lines, but I don't think they know what they're doing or talking about some of the times. Leticia?
I agree with Sean Black totally on this one. It kind of makes you raise your eyebrow and wonder, what are we doing here?
My head hurts on every day. Something happens in the news with this administration as far as something newsworthy, something that happens with a policy or something. And it's like, okay, I think I have this figured out why this is happening. And then literally 24 hours later, they do something that contradicts the previous decision. And then 24 hours after that, they reverse the reverse of the decision. It makes my head ache.
Well, talk about having a headache. we just found out that White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, Sean's favorite girl, will be receiving Secret Service soon because I believe last week she went to a restaurant in Virginia, the Red Hen or something like that.
Yes.
And she was kicked out. She was kicked out from that restaurant and was denied service because she worked for Trump. Now, as many times on the show before, we talk about double standards of everything. Now, Tisha, I'll start with you. Do you think it was right for them to not serve that Sarah Sanders because she worked for Trump, or you know what? What goes around come around type of thing.
It's also not only comes around, but I mean, we've just discussed this last week with what was it, Chicken and Waffles or whatever. So
yeah.
I mean, she's just getting the same feeling that everybody else has gotten when certain restaurants don't like you, whether it's because of your color or because you work for Trump. So I mean, she just needs to chuck it up.
But Sean and I talked about a couple of days ago, when that lady that was in charge of the immigration thing, she went to a Mexican restaurant, and of course, the protesters and everybody else went after them. Like, wait a minute, you locking up Mexican people, but he was in a Mexican restaurant eating their food. Cool, give or take. So isn't that oxymoron? They're doing that. So she had to leave the restaurant because she was being harassed so much. Now, was that right for them to do so?
I personally, I really don't like, this is a, as you've heard before, this that the slippery slope, this is one of those. And as a business, we've talked about this before many times, as a business, if you run a business and you have a certain rule about who you are going to cater to, who you don't want. Like we talked about, I think it was a couple of years ago when we talked about restaurants and not allowing parents with children coming in. And the argument that I made was, as long as they made it up front, made it a rule, put it in the window, and it was explained before you got there, then there's nothing wrong with that. But to just blatantly change it because somebody said something in the restaurant, I don't like that. This is similar to what we're seeing here in the sense that if we were talking about this on the other side of the aisle, it would be complete, holy upheaval. And this is the slippery slope that we're talking about here. Ironically, here's the funny thing. The Red Hen, this restaurant is in Virginia. There are at least three or four other Red Hen restaurants that are completely uninvolved, different management, different restaurant in different parts of the country. And they have been getting hate mail and angry calls to their restaurant just because of this whole incident with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It's craziness. This is to show you how polarizing everything is.
Oh, once again, as we discussed a million times, this sounds like a deja vu segment for everything else.
Yes.
It's double standard, but also at the same time, it's like, okay, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I'm tired too. But it's like, okay, the gay people want their cake to be baked. The court went for the decision. Everybody was cheering for that. So a lady comes to a restaurant, wants to eat something, got booted. But you know they're doing death threats about that. There's no people don't see the double standard of that. Like, what happened in the future? As we discussed a few weeks ago, if Sean decided to put up signs on his wall, no whites allowed, or no gays allowed, or no kids allowed into your business, is that right to call so? Isn't that a Civil Rights Act? And was that happening back in the past? Are we going backwards with this type of movement? Sean?
I think like I said a little earlier, if this was a rule that was made prior, and this is what the case was, yes. I don't know if you can just cherry pick who you want to have in your business on the fly. Just because you know of her association with Donald Trump and all of the atrocities, and as I've said before, in today's political war room, so to speak, this is something that you're picking sides. It's very, very hard to walk the line and be in the middle of this. So you're either in one tribe, which is the Republicans, and the other side is Democrats. If you're on the side of the Republicans, it's almost always assumed, for how wrong it is, that if you are a Republican, you must be a racist, misogynist pig. If you are a Democrat, you are completely against that. And we know that in certain parts of both sides, we know that there are a lot of people that don't feel that way on any side. And that's where the slippery slope is.
Hello?
Still there? Yeah.
Yeah, she's asleep. Okay, so back to me now.
Yeah, I can tell you're tired.
Yeah,
you zoned out on the air.
Yeah. You should be awake, right? I mean, you want
to
go,
no,
you
I'm well
go
awake.
Back to sleep,
I'm
right?
Well awake. I'm just listening to you guys because I'm just thinking with, you know, Huckabee Sanders. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, she's lying for Donald Trump and things like that. I don't sympathize with her in this case. I mean, that may not have been her character when she came on, but this is your character now, and that's something that people also look at also when she came into, you know, their establishment, her attitude also.
I don't agree with anything that comes out of her mouth during the time that she's had this job, but at the same time, she's doing her job, which is to spin the White House's message. That's what her job is. Now, the condescending attitude that she brings forth every day toward the media and towards everyone else, that's completely different. And I think this is what the restaurant doesn't want any part of, because they feel she feels the same way with her condescending attitude towards people when she answers questions with the media and how she reacts to certain things, that they don't want to be anywhere near that in their restaurant. That's one thing.
Yeah, but I just find it wrong. It's just wrong overall. And like you say, you know, you pick and choose your battles and your business. Like, you know, I don't like you, I'm not going to serve you. But I believe this is sending out the wrong message again towards other people. Same thing as the court decision. I'm like, yes, I understand the guy did not want a bigger cake because of religious belief. Well, because they brought it to the court and bring it, and go send the wrong message out there. And I believe that's going to bring everything backwards.
It might be sending out the wrong message, Hot Rod, but now she gets a taste of what discrimination feels like. She got a taste of what a lot of people have been dealing with. So now maybe that she's in that administration, maybe she can change it for all.
I also think you're giving her a little bit too much credit.
Yeah,
because
her?
You gotta remember, her party is making lots and lots of money, and they're making lots and lots of policies that are going to cost people lives, they're going to cost them property, it's going to cost them livelihood, et cetera, programs that can help. So those are the kinds of things that are the only way to, quote, unquote, hurt them. Being kicked out of a restaurant is trivial to them because, as you just stated at the top of the show, Hot Rod, they just gave her extra Secret Service detail. So she's now going to have extra security guards around her just in case, quote, unquote, something happens. And we saw that Maxine Waters, who we know has been as vocal against Donald Trump and his administration as possible, she got into a big kerfuffle with the media over her comments about pushing back against them and in essence, to boil it down, to push back, to make them feel uncomfortable, protest, et cetera, et cetera. Now, she didn't incite any riots of anything along those lines, but the Republicans took those comments that she made as such, that this could incite violence. Somebody could take what she's saying in a different way and try to, quote-unquote, weaponize it. And this is the rhetoric, this the scary part that we've been going, this pendulum that goes back and forth. Somebody does something, I have to top you. This person does something to top this, somebody has to do something even more egregious to top that. And this is where we don't want to have anything. And the reason why I say that is because the more and more that we see this, when the Republicans do what they have been showing on the outside and the Democrats are trying to play on their level, this is going to lead to another 4 years of Trump, because the Republican Party, and this is something that I just read up a little earlier, Donald Trump has 90% of an approval rating within his party, which, if I'm not mistaken, has the highest approval rating for any Republican within his base since George W. Bush. So think about that. The more you hit, you, the more you push on Donald Trump, the more that the Republican Party feels you're pushing on them. And all they have to do is show up and push back at the booth, and this will end up backfiring on the ones that are trying to play lowball with the same people that are starting this.
So, like I said many times before, next election, do not be surprised if Trump wins again.
Wouldn't be surprised
either. Scary.
And that, yeah.
And that's
very
scary. Mm-hmm. You know, like, wow. So, but it seemed like, and like I told Sean before we went on air, it seemed like the world loses its mind. Everybody's losing their mind. Or just people have been lost their mind, but now it's been filmed nonstop. Like, I saw a lady start screaming racist remarks on a plane, which was said to a black person. So, of course, everybody took their phones and recorded that. But now, it seemed like a girl cannot sell water on her own property in front of her house at all. Sean Black, what is the story that went viral that got everybody a little bit upset?
Yeah, well, this one is right up everybody's alley as far as now another issue of the hashtag doing something while black. A woman in San Francisco calls the police on an 8-year-old African-American girl by the name of Jordan Rogers. And what was she doing that was so egregious? Selling water in front of the apartment building that they both live in. And apparently Twitterverse and Instagram got a hold of this. Somebody recorded the whole situation of her calling the cops, put it online, found out who she was. Her name is Allison Etel, who has now been dubbed by the internet as Permit Patty. She's, as I just stated, calling the police on an 8-year-old girl who, by the way, was selling water, quote-unquote, without a permit, so that she can save up enough money to go on her first trip to Disneyland. And because this woman, who lives in an apartment, which, by the way, is across the street from AT&T Park. For those that aren't sports fans, that is a baseball stadium where the San Francisco Giants play.
Giants.
If she's calling the police on an 8-year-old girl for, quote-unquote, being too noisy, why are you living across the street from a baseball stadium? That's where all of this makes no sense at all. And, of course, it blew up all over the internet, and it went viral.
And basically, she figures since she lives across the stadium, everybody will be thirsty. It's coming time now. Why not buy water? You know, why not try to make a little bit extra change? But as always, as Sean said, being black in America, this is America. Basically, Tisha, what was your thought right away when you saw the video?
I'm just thinking, has she never seen my kids even having lemonade stands and selling lemonade out of the lemonade stands? I think that was way exaggerated, and, you know, to me, that's like a targeted move right there.
Okay, we have 347 and 2 blank, blank, blank. You're on the air.
What's up, y'all? Greetings and salutations.
Oh,
hey,
already?
There.
Hey, Brother B.
My friend is early. Greetings and salutations.
Yeah.
I will get to the other caller in a minute, but all right. Keisha,
how
I'll
y'all
you
doing?
Busy. All right, you know, we try to stay out of trouble and not throw any water on the block, you know, away from the white people, you know. So basically, what is your thoughts about this mother, this Permit Patty, calling the cops on an 8-year-old child?
All right, I got to look at it like this. People who do stuff like that, their lives are miserable. People who call the cops on other people who are barbecuing, their lives are miserable. People who feel the need to go and start trouble like this, their lives are miserable. So they have to, you know, as it says, misery loves company. Some of the Caucasians, some, not all, but some of them feel entitlement, and they feel that certain things should not be going on or going down without their knowledge, their permission, or whatever. Listen, it's 2018. I mean, why are we still caring? I think we as a minority need to, well, actually a majority, I think we need to just stop giving attention. Like, you know when your kid does something bad, and then you're like, oh, really? And then you just give them the silent treatment, and they keep doing stupid stuff till they see that you're not paying attention. I think that's what we all need to do. I think black people as a whole just need to just ignore everything that they're doing. Because you know what? After a while, it's going to be like, yo, really, you're not making any sense with what you're doing. I think it's, the lady is fully poppycock. She's full of shit.
Yeah, but
that's
do you think with some intention when a white person called the cop on a black person, it's intention to get him in trouble with the cop overall?
That's the problem. See, when you start to get one of these guys involved, someone in law enforcement, you may have that one cop that comes along and wants to stick his chest out and try to be Superman, when there's really no need for all of that. And that's the problem. Like, you can't have some cops come along and just be neutral, be like, all right, stop it. Because if you notice, no police agency anywhere in the country has made any type of statement of like, listen, stop wasting 911 on these BS calls. If you do, you will be charged. If they
you know,
that,
a long time
I
ago, they used to have
stop.
A they used to have an ad about that in the New York City area. It was don't play with when they used to have the signs would pull press the button for the police. Don't do
exactly.
that because if you do that, you may kill people that actually need them.
Right.
Exactly. And the whole thing is, but see, everybody's remaining silent because no one wants to be held accountable. And you know, you have Trump, you know, popping off at the lip and just letting trying to normalize anything and everything violent, anything and everything racist, and any and everything misogynistic. He's just trying to normalize it because that's normal in his life.
Yeah.
But then again, you got to look at, once again, the history of this country. That's normal to them.
Ooh.
Like, let Hot Rod do what Hugh Hefner did, and Rodney would be called the pimp. Hot Rod would be called the pimp. But Hugh Hefner, he was tasteful. He was a tasteful man, and this, that, whatever.
He gave jobs to the ladies out there, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He did not turn them to whores or anything like that. But I have Phil the Fisherman Fish on the air. Phil, would you like to add on?
Phil. Yes, I would like to add on. Hey, what the woman did to the child was wrong. Regardless of what color she was, it was just the wrong thing to do. I mean, regardless of what race it is, and when you do that to a child, that's just wrong. I mean, I don't care what color you are or whatever. It's just wrong. And then, you know, then she said, I don't remember what show she was on. She was crying because she was receiving death threats from people and all that. I'm like, well, you basically bullied a kid. What did you think was going to happen? You weren't going to have backlash? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, okay, threatening someone's life is wrong. Well, let me point that out. But still.
I'm sorry. Before what goes around comes around. Like, you know, you set the fire, so expect to get burned from that fire. You know, it may not be right, but you know what? When you play with fire, you get burned. So, like Phil says, yes, you call the cops on a child for doing what? Selling water. As like Sean stated earlier, she's losing business now, and she's selling weed.
Yes.
She's selling weed compared to an 8-year-old girl trying to sell water to get Disney tickets. And good news for her that someone did bought her and her family tickets for Walt Disney. So that's the good news out of it because it's a stupidity. And that's why we bring the story up. Go ahead,
and
Sean.
Hot Rod, not only is she selling weed, she's selling weed to dogs. I don't know if people looked at that. Her business, she was selling weed to animals. Like
I just got lost for a minute. I went through the woods. What?
The woman that is Permit Patty, she's she's selling, yes. It's not even a, we don't even know if it's a reputable business because she's been getting a lot of other issues with her job. But also, she was also selling weed to people's pets, I guess to the pets that may have issues with
glaucoma,
cancer, glaucoma, et cetera, et cetera. But
my other point that I was going to
make, and this is something that I think Brother B might hit on this one as well. When we hear,
I'm sorry.
I know.
Another word, the moment of levity for the week. Sean, hold on. Before you go on, and this is not an attack towards Phil, what Brother B is saying right now is, what I've been saying all the time at other places, white people. That's all I need to say. Go ahead, Sean.
He's not white, he's Jewish.
Oh,
man.
This goes into the idea of with the barbecue Becky and with the Yale student, and with the Starbucks and all of these things that happen when we hear about the cops being called on African Americans, when the perpetrator is able to get news and get attention on wherever they go, why is it that instead of giving the perpetrator all of the attention, why don't we give the victim the attention to be able to explain what they think happened, why this happened? And we see this time and time again. When something happens where somebody's called the cops on someone, the first person that goes on the pity party tour is the perpetrator. Oh, I didn't mean it. I got death threats. I'm not racist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they'll go on a 5-city tour. And lost in all of this will be the victim involved that got caught up in a lot of this stuff. They fall away as just being pushed to the side and given more attention to the perpetrator than to the victim of the entire ordeal. And that happens a lot with the media. I've just noticed.
Okay, real quick. You know what irks me? So you bother a little girl for selling water, yet you sell weed to dogs. So you have more sympathy to sell weed, and you don't even know if the dog if it works on the dog. Like, has a dog told you, "Oh, this is that good shit"? Like, I don't understand. Like,
I think it's along the line of dogs and, you know, like maybe dog certain foods or sprays or whatever for dogs. Like, there's a blah, you know. I don't think it's just for pets, but
listen,
I think they are included in this.
I speak the
it's
truth.
No justification
white,
for action.
No, white people love dogs. They love their dogs. They treat them like BFFs. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you see some white people, they love their dogs too much. Like, okay.
They treat their pets better than they treat other humans, unfortunately.
So, is he legal to sell weed to dogs?
I don't know the answer to that question.
It's San Francisco. That's their own different state of mind over there, so I won't be surprised if it's legal. You know. But, Tisha, anything you'd like to add on? As a mother, let's say you see your daughter going through this. What would be your reaction right away? Will you have called the cops on her? Or will you have to take out your phone and record her or record a woman calling the cops as a mother?
I'll probably be calling the cops on her, too. So I don't understand. Like I said, there's no justification for what she did.
And the worst part about it is she didn't even have the courage of her convictions to even stand up to the fact that she made the call. When she was finally caught on camera, for those that might not still have seen the video, she went to hide behind a flight of stairs near some bushes so she wouldn't get caught. And then she made the excuse that, oh, I wasn't really calling the police. I was just doing it to get something to happen. And the police actually said that they had no record of her with any noise ordinance calls at all on their record. So she basically lied on this to save face, and then it blew up all over the place.
Well, like you say, Sean, they live across from a stadium, a baseball stadium, where it made way much noise compared to a little girl screaming $2 waters. There's no comparison of that. So if you never go to a stadium, that is real noise.
Yes.
But now I just like to talk about
I think she was drumming up business. I think she's trying to drum up business, yo.
And that goes into the whole advertising part that I was talking about.
Yep.
Although, because of the story, she's lost a couple of distributors that were linked with her business, have dropped her altogether because of all of the news that's been going on. So at least something's
coming. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because you
don't
want to attack. There's one thing she had attacked adults. It could be like, you know, two sides to the story. But she went after a kid. And, you know, especially with everything that's going on with the immigrants and the children and everything, people have heart for kids. You always feel sorry for a kid for what they're going through. Because, you know, normally the kids have no control of what's going on in their lives at that stage. So it's like, you know what, you want to mess with a kid? Like you say earlier, guys, she was being a bullier towards that kid.
Yeah, of course.
For no apparent reason.
Yes.
And I want to go to the next topic. This is like a very sad topic and very frustrating. But we see these things happen over and over. But this topic is like a little bit disgusting of what happened last week. So I'm sure everybody will be on the same page as this. But I like to discuss what could have done and what should have done. And like, how can we work on this problem? Sean, can you talk about a little bit about this teenager gang story that happened over last week?
Yeah. There was a 15-year-old by the name of Lisandro Jr. Guzman Felix, who was in a bodega in the Bronx, was basically dragged out of a bodega into the street and literally stabbed to death with a machete. He was stabbed in the neck and left basically to bleed. The problem here is with this whole idea is, first of all, the worst part about it, this gang, which is part of, I think they're the Trinitarios gang, they got the wrong person that they were looking to attack, kill, et cetera, et cetera. This young man, 15 years old, he's completely lost his life.
So, wow.
And what makes it worse is they went on Facebook, the members of this group, and apologized for saying, well, we didn't mean it. We apologize. We got the wrong person. That doesn't bring this kid back. And what makes that even worse is that everything was recorded on camera, and nobody did anything. Nobody called anyone. Nobody said, let's get the police here. None of that happened. Now, what makes this even worse is that the people that did this, they fled. I mean, they just scattered all over the place. The police were looking for them. They arrested some of them, turned themselves in. One fled to the Dominican Republic, where he was caught and brought back to the United States. But as you were saying, Hot Rod, as sad as this whole story is, nobody did anything when it initially happened because the entire thing was caught on somebody's cell phone. Somebody recorded all of this stuff. I think it was on security cameras as well. Nobody did anything.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, the reason why the gang was chasing after the kid because they believed that this kid was sleeping or quote-unquote raping a 15-year-old girl. But basically this 15-year-old girl was having with two kids, two other teenagers, and of course it was posted on social media. So the gang members went out to look out for this guy because I believe the girl was a brother or was a family member of the gang members.
Was related to one of the members of the gang, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So starting from Tisha, because you're a mother of a beautiful daughter. I know what's your intake about this, but what do you think? I don't know what to say anymore because it's just disgusting, like I said earlier, and it's very painful. Because it's huge in the Bronx right now, and we look at the grocery store, it's full with thousands of candles right now. Because people are just like disbelief of what happened. So, what was your thoughts overall?
It's very disturbing overall. But what bothers me the most, you're gonna tell me that as much as people always recording something and things like that, nobody could have called for help when they saw something. Nobody in the bodega that could have even called for help.
You know what's even worse?
It was really, really disturbing to me.
The kid went back in the store bleeding, and the bodega employees kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want no part of it.
But this is what I'm saying.
And
it, like,
the crazy here's something crazier is the fact that just I believe this was I just saw this on the news a little earlier, but last week I think it was literally a couple days afterwards there was another attack of another I believe another teenager was attacked by a gang. I think the same gang or maybe associated to the same gang in the Bronx where they showed this kid getting stabbed up on, I believe somebody recorded it, getting stabbed up near an expressway, like near a highway.
Yes.
This is in the Bronx, and I just saw this on the news a little earlier. I mean, this is insane, you know?
Brother B.
Yeah, first of all, you're not going to come in my store and drag anybody out. If I own a business, trust me. Trust and believe. I'm going to exercise my, Second Amendment? Now, I'm going to have something registered. It's not going down like that. That little kid, if situation were reversed, somebody else would have been walking. Well, actually, probably would have been carried out of there because it wasn't going to happen. Like, after you watching the kid getting dragged out, come on.
But, all right, okay.
When it comes down to the recording, when it comes now, I think YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, I really think that they need to start being a whole lot more stringent, or someone needs to just shut a lot of this shit down. Like, you can't post this, because people record this and post it, but I bet you if you wasn't able to post it, would they still record it?
Well,
they probably would, thinking that they will go to some other place to do it.
Yeah,
no, I'm saying that's the whole
thing.
Stop it all. You need to, all of it needs to stop. You should not be able to post content like that on any social media site whatsoever, because all you're doing is giving people the 15 minutes of fame that they're looking for. And it needs to stop, man. Like, it really does.
And that also
goes
to the news, too, broadcasting it. Because at one point, remember, when you're watching the news, it wasn't this graphic with what they're also showing you on the news.
Or,
they would tell you about it, but they wouldn't show that
content.
Until
later on at the 11 o'clock hour to show it. And then
exactly.
They'd give you a disclaimer. This is going to be very, very graphic.
Yeah.
We're not going to show it during the 6 o'clock hour.
Everything is so normalized now, so it's okay to just show somebody laying out in the street. It's okay to show somebody getting shot in the head and post it up on YouTube or Facebook. It's okay. It's okay to be showing off your breasts and your ass and all that other stuff. It's okay. No, it's not okay. And I think it really needs to stop. It really needs to stop. Because people are rushing too much to just want to record and not do anything. Now, I can understand. Some people don't want to get involved because they don't want to be that. What's that saying? No good deed goes unpunished.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't want to be a victim of that. But at the same time, listen, we all human. That could have been my daughter. That could have been my nephew. It could have been someone related to any one of us. And of course, we would have wanted someone to help. But I mean, it's out of control. From the adults to the kids, yo, I'm voting for the purge. Damn that. Who's in the purge?
You know,
the second time I heard somebody make reference to
the purge about something like that.
All right, I have to give it to Phil now. Phil?
Yeah, this world has gone insane. I mean, why nobody did anything? I mean, it's just, I can't figure out. At least call the cops or something. You know, just... just get the cops on, you know, call the cops, you know, try to see if any of this could have been prevented or the kid, you know, bleeding to death.
I think it's easy
that's
said
just
that done now. But as we discuss all the time, that people are lacking common sense. People are not being educated that much anymore. And that's why I love what, Brother B posted a video today or what the lady said on the store. And it's so true. It's like, we need to stop blaming Phil, Sean, Tisha. And we just need to get our act together and start educating ourselves, start educating the children. What happened overall should not happen. Why it took seven guys, or eight guys, grown men, to come after an 8-year-old, a 15-year-old kid? Does that make
cowards.
Sense at all?
Because they're cowards.
Because they're punks, yeah.
You know, it's like, A lot of beef with Brother B. Either I'm going to take it man to man. I'm not saying, you know, it's right. But back in the days, we would take it one on one.
What was the key word? What's the key word?
Back
you
in
said?
The days.
Man to man.
Yeah.
You're not dealing. See, that's the problem. There's a shortage of that. That word right there doesn't apply. There's males that are not men.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Because to my concept, understand the mistaken identity part. Understand if someone, if you're upset, if Sean Black, if I came up, you know me for 20 years, if I have raped your mother or drugged your mother, you will have come after me, man to man. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that is true.
That is true. So let's be honest about that. Will you get Brother B and everybody else to come after me, or will you face me yourself, or will you call the cops right away?
Oh, I'm looking for you, and I'll be looking for you. I wouldn't need 18, 19 people. I'd be like Jason. I'd be stalking you until I found you.
You know, so
but
that's
you have
the thing,
machete
you got
on
cowards.
You.
Yeah.
Don't answer that, Sean. As your legal advisor, don't answer that.
I'm going to accommodate myself on this show, right?
Yeah, exactly. Be used in court. Don't answer that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm like, but I understand that. I try to understand the emotional part about you know, being upset if you find out someone was sleeping with your relative or quote unquote rape. But now the girl is getting a lot of death threats. But number one, I'm like, there's a lot of stories of what's going on that she lied about it, of course. I saw the video. She did lie about it. The sex was consensual. But she also had a boyfriend too. I don't know how true is that. So of course everybody went crazy and started looking for this poor little kid. Now the person who did have sex, he's out free, probably hiding as well. It's like, what is going on? What's going on with society today? And even Phil, there was a story that Sean and I talk about that happened in Brooklyn. There was two guys fighting in a train station, and it became bloody. No one did not get involved, but you see 20 or 30 people out with their phones recording, and that one person took a few minutes to call 911.
And the reason why it got
mind-boggling.
The reason why it got bloody is because the one person that was fighting the other person decided to push him up against the MetroCard machine and rip off his bottom lip. He bit him. He fought him. This happened at the Utica Avenue 4 train station. And whatever the argument was over, usually we hear about this. You get into an argument, you get into a fight, it's just you and the person. Fight's over, okay. There, like you said, there's about maybe 15, 20 people standing around with their cell phones out recording this whole thing. They get into a fight, guy throws the person up against the wall and literally bites his bottom lip off and then runs out of the train station. Now, you figure, okay, let's get this guy some help. He might bleed to death. This guy might have hepatitis or something. He might have AIDS. He might have given him some sort of a disease. Or this guy, you don't know, anything could have happened. Instead of getting help and somebody running out of the train station, you bleeding, son. That's one of the things you hear on the video. Yo, he's bleeding, son.
Oh,
the guy is wearing a white shirt with blood all over his shirt and a pool of his own blood all over the floor before he finally stumbles out of the train station and gets out. Now, one of these people that came out there decided to go and get the cops. Now, maybe we don't know what happened after the video because it showed the genesis of the fight. It showed the fight. It showed the conclusion, and that was it. We don't know what happened afterwards. But still, in the process of this fight happening, not one person could have tried to find law enforcement or a cop or somebody or make a call. Really?
And I think the problem is, granted, we all love our cell phones, our smartphones, but it really has taken over people's lives. Like Sean and I and Cato, we saw a video a few weeks ago of a woman who dropped her phone on a train track. And yes, guys, she actually did it. She went down to get her phone. She tripped, and you know what happened after that.
Yeah.
And then
she went
half
She tripped and went face first into the third rail.
And
so
she's
risking her life for a phone that she can't even take with her, God forbid, if she dies.
She didn't risk her life. She died. You could see the video.
But
showed
you see what I'm
saying?
Yeah, she's burnt.
Yes.
You saw the smoke. She saw the smoke coming up. She got electrocuted.
But everybody has their phones out, and remember hearing someone need to help. Someone need to call 911. I'm like, wait a minute. You're on the phone, recorded. As you yelling that someone needs to call 911, what are you going to do? She's done. She's dead. You know, sorry to say that, but it's the truth. But it's just the mentality of people in their phones that you'll risk your life for a phone, that you risk somebody
Hell
else's
no.
life recording something.
You know, you know, one day, something is going to happen where two people are going to start fighting and everybody's going to pull out their cell phone, and the next thing you know, somebody's going to pull out a gun and start shooting everybody. Because I remember years ago when you saw a fight, like, if it was a school fight or something. Because after 3 o'clock, everybody went to go see the school fight. But anyplace else, you see a fight, you go the other way.
Yep.
You go the other way.
You never know what's going to happen at that moment.
Exactly. You don't know if somebody's going to start shooting. You don't know if somebody's going to pull out a knife and just start going crazy. But now everybody seems to just want to stand around and watch like this is Rome and they're in the, you know, in the arena. Like everybody just thinks it's okay to watch.
So this is our new, this is our entertainment now? This is how we're going to raise our children overall?
Yep.
That it's okay to record someone getting beat up, someone dying, someone getting stabbed. Someone's having sex in the yard. This is okay. But who's worse, the people that's recording it or the people that's watching it, giving that person 1 million views?
It's society that allows it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think social media should not listen. Once again, it doesn't have to be like 100%. But once again, people do this and post it. That's they record it to post it. I'm like, if you stop giving them that avenue, what would be the purpose of recording it? What would be the purpose? If you can't post it on Instagram, or you can't post it on Facebook, or you can't post it on YouTube, and like as soon as you try to post it, like they shut down your account or something like that, then people will just be like, oh, well, you know, I don't even see. Probably, hopefully, people would see there's no point in doing stuff like that anymore because, first of all, it doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be trying to support someone else's tragedy. Like that's ridiculous.
I'm sorry to say you're right, but a lot of people see it your way because on social media, for you, Brother B, you give out information. They'll talk about,
but not like that. Not like that. Like,
no, no, you give
like
out,
that.
You give
like,
out
I
good
do.
Information.
I didn't even want to watch the video. I didn't even want to watch the video. Somebody told me about it. I didn't even want to see it. But there was so much talk about it, I just had to, like, wait. He ran in the store. Nobody did anything. So I just watched one version of it, and I was like, wow. I just couldn't do it. And I feel guilty for watching it because I feel I became a part of the problem by even looking at it.
The fear of that.
Well, this was from the store's camera.
Yeah.
Not from somebody's cell phone and stuff like that. Because I heard about the story, but I really didn't read it. So I went to YouTube and I went to check out the story, and then they showed it, and I was like, whoa.
But tonight I saw a picture of the boy in his casket from the wake. I'm like, why
would you take a picture of that?
Oh, picture?
There was a video. There was a video. Somebody did the video.
You know, I scroll up and click on it. It was like, you know, one of those things that's right there. So you see it as you're scrolling up. I'm like, why people want to post videos or pictures of deceased?
We live in a society where everybody wants to be internet famous very quickly with no repercussion, and because of the way social media has become, where it's instant gratification, where I can go out, and as I remember telling you a few months ago, I saw a fight that happened at a McDonald's. Somebody literally posted the fight 5 minutes after it finished to put it up on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Everybody feels that they're going to be the next Edward Woodward or the next Chuck Scarborough, or somebody's going to be breaking some sort of news and is going to be internet famous because they are the first to post the same tragedy online. 1,800 people are recording the same thing. How is that going to be any different from the first one that goes up to the one that you did? Well, yours has voice commentary on it, or this has a different angle, or maybe you get to see everybody involved in it. It's stupid, and it shows you now that society has gotten to the point where we're so oversaturated with instant gratification about our technology and our news and our surroundings that we have really made this world much smaller than it actually is.
Okay. Talk about social media. Not to get too personal about your life, Tisha, at what age do you think you allow your child have social media, you think?
Oh, wow, I can't even answer that, but maybe 18?
Wow.
Good luck with that one.
I'm just
exactly.
saying, because
exactly
I don't think that's even going to be possible realistically, but if it were up to me, 18, I don't see what's the purpose of her, you know, even being on social media at a young age.
It's a trend right now. Young people, younger and younger people are having
cell phones. But
and
us as parents, we can prevent that, can't we?
It's so much
to buy the kids a cell phone.
Exactly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And kids today, they need cell phones. We need to keep track of your kid when they're in school, when they're not in school. So
and get them a flip phone with no internet access. There you go.
But guess what, Sean? There's always a friend that has a smartphone.
And that's the issue. That's the issue. You can be a great parent, but once your kids are of age to go to school, either on their own or travel to school with other kids, and you don't know what the values of the other parents are, where, oh, well, my kid is 7, and I gave him an iPhone. Oh, well, this one is 8, and the guy's a tablet. You know that child is going to be introduced to some sort of stimuli that you probably don't approve of. You have to be ready for that as that child comes back home, especially if they ask you, well, why is it that this is this? We know why.
Please, guys, my son who's 4 years old asked me a couple weeks ago, Daddy, I want my own iPhone. I'm like, boy, go sit your ass down and leave me alone. You ain't not getting an iPhone no time soon. Because why? Because, you know, his other friends, I mean, of course, you know, kids copy off from other kids, and they brag of what they have. I'm like, he told me so-and-so have an iPhone. I'm like, no. So-and-so parent has an iPhone. You're just using it the same way like you're using my phone. But so-and-so have an iPad. Well, good for them. You're not having an iPad, okay? You're using mine. You have a Kindle.
Yeah.
And like, my son, who's 4 years old, have his own gadgets already. I think I could speak for all of us. We did not have any gadgets when we was young, like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, maybe you're
right.
Bring payphone back. Just bring the payphone back. Keep a quarter in your pocket.
I actually saw a kid this afternoon get into an argument with his mother over the fact that she would not allow him, who he looked like he was about maybe 8, to use her phone to play some games on it. And every time she would get ready to use the phone, he would try to jump across the table to grab the phone. And she would pull the phone back. I'm like, are you serious? This is the society we live in now where we have children that are so amped about the technology and amped about using the phone that they're willing to fight their parents to get at it. This is the part of the problem that a lot of the overstimulus is with children now.
And that also goes back to, like, the competition, too, of this kid has that, so I need that, where you're not confident enough. You know, okay, you don't need what every kid has, and that's how we're raising our kids. You know, this kid has that, so I need to have it, too. You understand what I'm saying?
True, Brother B. You're a father of a teenage daughter. How's that going with you in technology, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I talked to her about that whole internet thing, and she seems to be more into video games than anything. She's not really big on social media from what I notice, or her mother notices, like, she's just kind of zoned out in her own world. But she don't really think that all that stuff on social media is cool. Like, she's looking at, like, you know how some of these kids be posting little dumb stuff with chickens and weird stuff and saying weird. You know, it's nothing damaging. You know, it's just
look
silly
at the breakdancing
stuff.
Squirrel.
Stuff like that. Otherwise, she's not really into the other stuff because she's like, that's stupid. Like, it doesn't make sense, like, for people to run around and do that. And I was like, well, at least you and your friends are, you know, seem to be on the right track, which, you know, is good with me. But there are other kids out there that are just not. And I really think there should be some restrictions. It should be some
restrictions. There's one less psychiatry bill you have to pay for in the long run, I guess.
Exactly. And you know what was crazy? And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I really think it's because I tell her, hey, you need me? Talk to me. And she does. I don't expect her to tell me everything, but I listen to her. Actually, when her friends want to talk about something, I listen to her friends. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to listen. We're not supposed to just, ignore them and, oh, what you're saying doesn't make any sense, shut up. No, we can't do that because we wouldn't want somebody to do that to us. So why are we doing that to the kids? Somebody has to listen.
Shut up, Brother B. I'm not listening to you no more. But besides that.
Oh, God.
No. Brother B reached a good point, and I think that's what, the lady said in that video earlier. We need to talk overall and try to educate our kids about everything what's going on in life. They're too busy being distracted by the electronic social media, and then they start crying that they're being bullied or so-and-so posts this on that. It's like, really?
Well, what's the next internet challenge that you're going to do it? Oh, let me go ahead and swallow this bleach. Let me go ahead and take these dryer pads and eat them, you know. Those are the kinds of things that people – there's one thing about getting into mischief. There's another thing that people are doing this stuff to get famous. Like, this is going to get them famous. They're going to be seen on television or something. No, because what's going to happen is they're going to show you on the internet potentially dead. Oh, well, I killed myself online. I'm famous forever now. It's like that Donald Duck cartoon where he said, well, this is the greatest trick I've ever had. It's like nitroglycerin in his mouth to put the match in, blows himself up, gets a standing ovation. Problem is, he's dead. He can't do the trick again. You can't get any more famous than that, apparently.
What do you have to go that violent for, man? That's old school violence. These kids do not understand that violence today. Come on.
You don't think so?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just saying. No, that's good old cartoons back then. But if you play those cartoons now for these kids, they'd probably be offended by that or be crying about it. Back then, we laughed at that.
Yeah.
We laughed at the Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, because we knew the difference between real and fake.
Mm-hmm.
We knew the difference back in the day. Yeah, in the day, it was funny. And you know what? We had parents that actually gave a shit that explained what's right and what's wrong. We weren't allowed to have. I mean, if we'd have gone to school in a school back in our day with a cell phone, hell, the teacher would have caught us and took that shit away from us and said, "You want this? I'm making a phone call to your parents, and they're getting it."
Mm-hmm.
I used to get my GI Joe.
Now forget it.
You brought GI Joe. You bring your GI Joe. When you brought any of your toys to school. Anything like that, used to get them taken.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Yep.
Son would like to bring his toys to school. I'm like, you know what? You go and bring your toys to school, fine. But when you lose it or somebody take it, don't come crying for me because I'm not buying a new one. And that's my final word. And guess what? He doesn't bring his toys to school. Well, the cheap ones that I don't care about yet, but the ones that he really loves, he doesn't bring to school. But he knows I'm not going to buy him a new one.
He also realizes the value of what that toy is to him. If he loses it, then that's something that is taught, something that's learned from the parents, and you do a great job doing what you do to make sure that he understands that.
Yeah, well, like I said, I know tonight was not a crazy, debatable night. There's something we just need to get off from our chest and just vent out because overall this is a very sad, disgusting situation, and bottom line, we need to educate our people and especially our children today. Phil, I'm going to call you Dr. Phil from now on. Brother B. Keisha, thank you. I know you're tired, but thank you. And Sean Black, whatever.
Before you go off the air, can I just say something? Before this show went on, before you went on the air with the show, something happened tonight that just shocked me. Wilma Flores hit a game-winning RBI in the bottom of the 10th, and the Mets actually won a baseball game as this show went on the air.
Oh, brother. He had to mention the New York Mets. God.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
We don't get that many wins, so I got to gloat about it.
Okay, guys. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Everybody enjoy the vacation next week and the 4th of July. Be safe. Have fun. Thank you all, guys, for tonight's
show.
Good
night, guys.
Have a nice night. Be safe.
Everybody have a good night.
And a pleasure with all yours.
Damn you. Damn you, Phil. Damn you. Good night, guys.
Good night,
everybody.
Enjoy your holiday.